Book of John, John chapter 20. And I know this is Palm Sunday, and I always feel conflicted because we don't have a Good Friday service. And so next Sunday is Easter, and we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And this morning I just felt compelled to focus on the Lord's death. And what that means and why the Lord came. The Lord didn't come just to live a good life. He didn't come just to show us, to be an example of what it's like to be human. He came because we needed a Savior. He came because of our sins required a sacrifice. And I was praying about what the Lord wanted me to preach on, and I just kept coming with this image. I mean, talk about the nails. You know, we often clean up the cross. Right? Some of you have jewelry of a nice gold or silver cross and how pretty it is. Yet the cross was a mark of shame and reproach. The Bible says this, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." The cross was hewed out of wood. It was rough. And splendor, it was not a place of comfort, but of distress. In the first century, it was very common to find the roads lined with men and women who had been crucified, hanging. The cruelty of the cross is just beyond measure. It was designed not to kill instantly, but to stretch it out. And actually, over time, people would survive quite a long time. The Romans were great at nailing without hitting the major arteries, to allow things to stretch out. When Jesus said, "Pick up your cross and follow me," his disciples would have understood what Jesus was saying for a death of ourselves to follow him. And I was just thinking of the nails that held him there. Jesus said that no one takes his life from him, but he freely gave his life. I remember years ago, I was just a young child, I heard a preacher preach a sermon on it. It wasn't the nails that held him there, but it was love. I was singing the song, "He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have come down from that cross." Actually, the crowd mocked him and said, "Hey, come down, you saved others, save yourself." And yet he stayed upon that cross for you and for me. I don't know if you ever watched the movie The Passion. And the one scene that just makes my skin crawl was when they take that spike, that nail, and put it upon his wrists and just hit it. And the repulse that we all feel from that is what Jesus took for us. And it's funny because John 20 starts off that Jesus is dying and risen from the dead. And he appeared to the disciples all except Thomas. And verse 24 says this, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nails, I will put my hands in his sides, I will not believe.'" I always found it curious that when the Lord rose from the dead, he had a new body restored. All the beatings and scars from the being whipped time and time again, The pierces of the crown of thorns, all those were gone, and yet he kept the print of the what? Nails. So we would see and we would know. As we talk about what the Lord did for us and why we needed it,
All I can go through it and come up with an image of the cross.
Now, I bear with me because I probably didn't do a good job of putting these pictures together to illustrate the point. But I picture the crossbeam of the cross where his hands were nailed. As it goes across, that's things that block us from God. When we talk about why the Lord had to come, and God loves us and wants to have fellowship with us, and yet there's things that stand in the way of that that Jesus had to take care of. And I think of the beam across as representing the things that keep us from having fellowship with God. Then the tall upright shows that God wants to have a relationship with us to draw us to himself. And Christ came to fulfill those things. So this morning I wanted to take a look at four nails, if you will, to represent the aspects of that accomplishment on the cross, of all that Christ had to do for you and for me. Why the nails? That's supposed to be a nail. I don't know if you can tell or not. The first thing we need to realize is that God is holy. Jesus had to come and die because God is holy. The Bible's clear on this. All the way back in Leviticus, to speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." We have a God who has no sin, no blemish, a holy God. The book of Isaiah shows what happens when a sinful man comes into the presence of God. And he cried out, he said, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You and I cannot approach a holy God on our own. It's not a matter of being good enough, because none of us can be good enough. Romans tells us what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I was having a conversation with someone, and we were talking about God being holy. And we have sinned. And the person's like, "Yeah, but I'm better than you are." And I was like, "Probably, but I'm not the standard. I'm not the standard." Imagine if we were all to line up at the bridge in Bucksport. And we all lined up there, you know, you have the overview that's there. And I said, "You know, everyone take about 5 steps back, and we're all going to run, and we're all going to jump across." Well, I might be able to jump further than some of you. And some of you might be able to jump farther than me. But guess what? None of that will do you any good, because the gap is so far. To realize that we serve a holy God, a God who is perfect in every way, who has no sin, that we cannot even approach him. And yet God desires to have a relationship with us, but his holiness, if you will, stands in the way. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we turn around and look, the Bible talks about God not is only holy, but he is just. The book of Psalms says this: "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. We serve a God who is right, who has to pour out justice upon this world." Hebrews tells us that all of us will stand before him. It says, "As it is appointed for men to once die, but after this," what? "The judgment." It's interesting because we all call for justice unless it's against ourselves. But how many times have you turned on the TV and you see someone who's arrested for some horrendous crime, and because of our system of justice, it's kind of messed up. They get away with it. You know what that does, right? You feel that gut? We're like, that's not fair. That's not right. That's not just. We need to realize that as humans created in God's image, we are set here on earth. And we will be held accountable, and we will stand before the judge to give us an account. Romans starts off with this. It said, for the wages of sin is what? Death. We need to realize that as God is holy, and I am not, that God is just, God has to give me what I deserve. Otherwise, he's not just. For me to understand this, I always kind of bring this down to this. I say, we turn around, and have you ever worked at your job, and you had your boss mess up your paycheck? You know, I had a place, I worked like 60 hours in the week. And anything over 40 was supposed to be time and a half. And so I was like, all week long, I'm like, all right, I'm banking some money here, right? And so paycheck time came. I got my check. I opened it up and I looked at it. And he marked me down for 35 hours. I was upset. Wouldn't you? Right? I worked hard for this. I deserve every cent, right? Because it wasn't an easy job. It wasn't like I was just kind of lounging around. I worked hard for it. I wanted what I deserved. And how awful my boss was for not giving it to me, right? He was unjust. So I booked my way into the office. Right? And I said, hey, look, this is the hours you have on there. And he goes, well, hold on a second. Let me pull off the time cards. And right, you're at a place where you had to check in and punch in the cards. So he pulled out the time card. And he goes, well, wow, you're right. You did work like 60-some hours. And he's like, I wonder how that happened. You know what? I didn't care how it happened. I wanted what was mine. Right? It's my money and I want it now. And I think there's a commercial that talks about that. It's right, my money, I want it, right? I deserve it. So my boss is like, wow, that kind of stinks. And I was like, yes. And I was waiting, because you know what I was waiting for, right? What was I waiting for? My money, right? Fix it. Give me what I deserve. And so finally, you know, he got up and he goes, I'll be right back. And he went and talked to the person who does the time cards. And he goes, okay, well, next week you'll be put on there. So I was like, all right. You're shaking your head. You're like, yeah, they're going well, right? So guess what? All week I was anticipating. Right? What's going to happen? And in my mind, I was like, all right, I've been on this treadmill before. I know what's going to happen, right? And I was thinking in my mind, you know, what an awful boss I had, right? He ripped me off, right? He was unjust. Give me what I deserve. And luckily, the next week, I looked down there, and there it was on. And I'm like, yes, all right, I like my boss now. Like, whew. He proved himself just. God is just. He's a righteous judge. And at the judgment, those who will stand before him, God has to give them exactly what they deserve. And the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Is death. Separation from God. If God doesn't give out justice, then he is unjust. And God cannot die himself. So Jesus died to satisfy the justice of God. So not only do we have that God is holy and I am not. He was nailed to the cross to take care of my sin. Not only is he just, but see, also God is what? Love. God's love. Bible says, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The nails that he has remind us it's because of his holiness, because of his justice, but also because of his love. Because of his love, God came up with a solution to the problem. How does a sinful man come into the presence of a holy God? Who is a sinner who deserves punishment come before a judge who is righteous in his justice? The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. This is love. This morning we celebrate communion. That is a picture, a memorial of what he did for you. Folks, you can never doubt his love. And his desire is for you to have fellowship with him. Despite his holiness, despite the justice, love will find a way. Ephesians goes on and says, but the God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So we have a God who is great in love. He could have wrote us off. You know, we live in a society today where so many people are just writing people off, right? That you add no value to my life, so I'm just going to write you off. We see parents and child and families who are split. I don't like your politics, so I'm just going to write you off, right? Oh, you're toxic, so I'm getting rid of you, right? We've gotten to a point where anyone who doesn't fit into my little box, I discard and throw aside. And because of God's holiness and his justice, he could have easily just wiped us out and said, forget about it. But he didn't. Why? Because he loves you. He took the nails because of love. What an amazing thing that is. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While I was still a sinner, I didn't have to clean myself up. I didn't have to change my ways to come to him. But the love of God is demonstrated towards us. So much so he died for us. And I think that we need this reminder today, not even for ourselves, but we look around in the world and all that's going on, and we see things that are just so messed up. We see people who are just running amok in this world. And I need that reminder, you know what? God loves them. He does. The same love that was demonstrated towards me, that Christ died for those around me as well. And I need that reminder sometimes. Because it's easy for me to get on my high horse sometimes. And look at and shake my head at all those around me. And yet Christ loved them so much he died for them too. He died to save them. Lastly, we have God is holy. God is just. God is love. The last point I want to talk about is God is merciful. God is merciful. That we have a God who is holy without sin. We have a God who is justice, who has to judge the sin, and yet he loves us, and yet he still wants to show us mercy. Exodus says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Ezekiel says to them, as I live, the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Whether the wicked would turn from his ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? And I think this is a call that needs to go out into the world today. Is turn from your sins and be saved. We have a God who loves you, who is merciful. It is.
And come to him and leave all behind and follow him.
And so in here we take this picture of the holiness of God and the justice of God that keeps us from him, and yet his mercy and his love draw us too. And those two come together where? In the cross. In the cross. That Jesus becomes that mediator. He's the one who satisfies the holiness and justice of God, who extends through love and his mercy towards us to draw us through. That through the cross, we are welcomed into his presence. That's why he had to die. The nails are left to show us the whole gospel picture. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through whom? Jesus Christ our Lord. That he died on the cross in my stead. He died to satisfy the holiness of God. He paid the debt of our sins to satisfy the justice of God. And in this, the mercy of God and his love is brought through us to draw us to him. What a wonderful picture is this cross. And Jesus left the prints of the nails to remind us of this. It is all through him. I'm not saved because I'm wonderful, I'm good. No, there's no righteous, no, not one. God's justice demands that I would be separated from him for all eternity. Yet through his mercy and love, he draws me near. He is the one who satisfied us at all. John wraps this up and says that he himself is the propitiation of our sins. And not of ours only, but also for the whole world. That word propitiation is a fancy term. Next time you're at a party, throw that out. Propitiation. People think they'll be impressed. What it means is all elements have been satisfied. There's nothing left to be done. On that cross, on that Good Friday, as Jesus was giving up the Spirit, he said, "It is finished." He satisfied the requirements of a holy and just God, who extended in love and mercy towards us. For you. And not only for us, but for all the world. As we look around in this world, what they need to do is see the nails and know that he, Jesus, did it for them. He died for the wicked, the despised and rejected, of which I was. So it's interesting. So Thomas comes and Jesus says, "Come and see." He goes, "Reach your fingers here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Christian, this morning I wanted to encourage you to remember of who you are apart from Christ. You are lost. And you can never satisfy the holy requirements of a holy and just God. But praise God that he extended his love and mercy towards you, all on the cross. Look at the marks of the nails in his hands and feet. And believe. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you, there is a way. And it's a miraculous way, where Jesus becomes that substitute for you, that he takes the penalty to satisfy the requirements that are against you. I think the book of Colossians wraps this up so well. It says, "In you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the written handwriting of the requirements that are against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Book of Revelation chapter 20 says the books were opened, and each one were judged according to things in the book. The Bible says we will be judged for every idle word that we say. What a fearful day that's going to be. There is no one who's going to stand before God and not know why they were cast into hell. Yet Paul tells the Colossians here that it's Jesus Christ took that testimony against us and he nailed them to the cross. It should have been me. I'm guilty. I could not come before a holy God. If the books of my life were opened and you knew all that was in there, you probably wouldn't want nothing to do with me. Not only the things I have done, but those things I have thought. And yet Jesus took all those things and nailed them to the tree. What a mighty God we serve. In the design, in the cross, all things have been satisfied. There is no other way. Jesus in the garden pled with God and said, look, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, right? If there's any other way to save us, to redeem us, to bring sinful man into the presence of a holy and just God. If there's any other way, let this cup pass. And there wasn't. See, the beauty of the cross, as the old song says, my shame and reproach gladly bear. When I look at his nails that he took for me, I'm touched by his love and his mercy that he himself took upon him the punishment I deserved to satisfy the holiness and justice of God. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. But I love that old cross where the dearest and best for all the world of lost sinners was slain. And I will cherish the old rugged cross. See, the cross doesn't show me how good I am. It shows me just the opposite. Oh, but praise God, the cross shows how wonderful he is. Do you see the nails? For you. In the resurrected body, all the stripes were gone. But he kept the nail prints. So we would remember and we would know that he is the way and the truth and the life. And Christians, what else can we do but love him? What an awesome God we serve. One who gives us such an amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a what? A wretch like me. This week as we approach Good Friday, the night in which Jesus died on the cross for you, I pray that you just spend some time and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You satisfied it all for me. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the cross. Lord, we thank you for the nails. That you took this for me, Lord. I am a wretch. I am a sinner. I deserve nothing. And yet you satisfied all the requirements. when you said it is finished. Lord, help me to remember the nails. And each one you took for me. And Lord, help me to live for you. Lord, we ask this in your name.